For some analysis of the ongoing threat posed by al-Qaeda, we're joined now by Daniel Benjamin, former director of transnational threats at the National Security Council and co-author of the book The Age of Sacred Terror. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
This past week, there were not only suicide bombings in Saudi Arabia, but also in Morocco. There have been heightened threats of an imminent attack in Kenya. Is there anything linking these threats together? Do you see this as the work of al-Qaeda, splinter groups?
Well, we don't have enough information to say with any authority yet. It certainly seems like the Saudi attack was al-Qaeda and involved core members of al-Qaeda. The Casablanca attack may be tied to al-Qaeda. It may be a case in which a group shares the ideology but is not totally integrated into the organization. What is going on in Kenya is probably also al-Qaeda because there's been a pretty durable presence there since before the embassy bombings of 1998.
What does that say about the ability of al-Qaeda to reconstitute itself?
Well, the first thing I would say about that is that al-Qaeda never went away. And I think that we get lulled into a sense of security because the attacks are either unsuccessful or are offshore. The organization is enormously innovative and very good at moving people forward, moving them up. They have a very, very deep bench, and they have rapidly filled those openings that were created by arrests or killings.
How significant do you think Osama bin Laden is at this point? I'm thinking of an audio tape attributed to him that was released in February, in which he urges Muslims to, in his words, liberate countries from unjust apostate governments which are enslaved by America. Two of the countries that he singled out were Saudi Arabia and Morocco, which have now seen attacks. Do you think there's any direct link or not?
Those countries would appear on a bin Laden list of targets for attack at pretty much any time. I think that the fact that bin Laden is out there and still alive, to all appearances at least, would probably give a lot of his followers or people who think like him a lot of encouragement to continue the attacks. It's hard to say how directly involved he is at this time, but simply the fact that he is out there and may be communicating with other senior members who are still alive, I think, is reason enough to continue taking his presence and the senior level of the organization very seriously.
Are you seeing a shift in tactics if you look at the targets that seem to be the focus of these attacks? At one point, it was U.S. embassies, USS Cole, obviously the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Now, something very different, restaurants, public spaces. What does that say?
Well, it is true that there seem to be more soft targets. At the same time, it's important to remember that al-Qaeda has always mixed up its targets. The targets in the unsuccessful Millennium Conspiracy included the Radisson Hotel in Amman and a number of pilgrimage sites in Jordan, along the River Jordan, for example, where there were going to be attacks with small arms. So al-Qaeda has, again, broken the rules by using many different tactics in many different locations. I think right now there's a high premium on showing that they are active, that they are continuing to represent, as they would say, the interests of true Muslims, despite the war in Iraq, which they interpret as proving their case that the United States is out to destroy Islam.
Do you share the fear that's been expressed by most notably Senator Bob Graham of Florida, that the focus on Iraq, the war with Iraq, means overlooking the threat still posed by al-Qaeda?
I think there were clear costs to prosecuting the war in Iraq. One of those costs is that it made it even more imperative for many terrorist organizations to carry out attacks. And usually takes 2 or 3 months to put together car bombings and possibly even more time to put together coordinated bombings. So it's very likely that the Riyadh attacks were actually meant to occur while we were fighting in Iraq. That's the first thing. The second thing is that there were quite a number of intelligence successes during the lead-up to the war, but I think that we had to use so much of our political capital. Lining up support probably meant that we lost some time, lost some momentum. We may also have pulled off intelligence and special forces to use in the war in Iraq that otherwise would have been used elsewhere. And what is certainly true is that we have taken the eye off Afghanistan, and there seems to be a resurgence of warlordism and possibly terrorism there.
Dan Benjamin, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Daniel Benjamin is senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.